By J. Jeff Toller for Shenandoah Christian Alliance. J.Toller@scofforchrist.org. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry. James chapter 1 verse 19. What would we say should be the objective of civil society in a prosperous and healthy nation? It should be to procure for her citizens, at the very least, whatever they require for the necessities, the conveniences, the accommodation of life, and, in general, whatever constitutes happiness, as in, life, liberty and the pursuit of. We can certainly add to these, the peaceful possession of property, a method of obtaining justice with security, and finally, a mutual defense against all external violence. Source: https://lawnang.com/library/reference/battle-law-of-nations/vat-102/closing-. From this list alone, it should be easy to form a fair idea of the perfection of a state or nation. Everything in a healthy, just, properly functioning society must aspire to promote and protect, at a minimum, these objectives or goals. For further consideration, as if we need it, Google AI provides the following. Accountability. The government is responsible to its citizens for its actions. Transparency. The government is obligated to share information with the public, especially about how taxpayer dollars are spent and the actions of political representatives. Effective governance. The government should have a framework of policies, processes, and structures to fulfill its obligations. Risk management. The government should manage uncertainty to reduce the negative impact of challenges and take advantage of opportunities. Maintaining infrastructure. The government should develop and regulate infrastructure to improve connectivity and networks for people, businesses, and trades. Delivering municipal services. The local government should provide basic services that meet basic human rights. Other obligations of a good government ought to include equality, citizen participation, free and fair elections, protection of human rights and the environment, control of the abuse of power, rule of law, and due processo. How do we explain why these ideals are barely observable, much less obvious, in America anymore? What more could we say of the current state of affairs with our state and national leaders? Any federal election year is important, but this one is especially urgent. The campaign language from one side of the political sphere is talking incessantly about the other candidate as being a threat to democracy. And so, these basic ideas just listed, concepts our nation's founders carefully considered, have been lost in the shuffle from out-of-control rhetoric. Please support the Virginia Christian Alliance website and community center. We would appreciate your donation. There are plenty of people, with infinitely bigger platforms than mine, who contend this is not only unprecedented, it's extraordinarily dangerous. And yet, we seem to be taking it all in stride. The truth is this. It's evidence of desperation for those who want to hold on to power. Why would anyone believe we can trust such people to govern our lives? Why don't we seem to care? This, as they say, is a tell. When things will be almost impossible to resolve at the ballot box alone, especially since the ballot box has become an anachronism. I can cite two examples from personal observations just this past weekend, which reveal how bad the American soul and psyche have been wounded. For civil society to survive, it will require the most urgent care if we are to remain one. Technically, the first observation is not, by definition, personal. It involves the news of Hurricane Helene that devastated a massive area in southeastern U.S. But the surprise, for me at least, was just how destructive and deadly it would become. Carrie Mock, writing for The Conversation, reported, at least 230 people died across Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee and Virginia as Helene flooded towns, destroyed roads and bridges and swept away homes. For a complete assessment of the disaster, read the entire article, https://thecon.com/how-hurricane-helene-became-a-deadly-disaster-across-6-states-240522. The disaster was certainly record-breaking, but the really bad news was what America learned about FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, established to help people recover and rebuild from such disasters. First, we discovered FEMA is all but bankrupt. Second, we discovered this is the agency tapped to pay for transporting millions of illegal migrants into our country and then relocating them. As the saying goes, who knew? This is, or it certainly should be, considered the worst scandal of our time. To make matters worse, by the time you are reading this, Florida will again be suffering the brute force of Hurricane Milton. My second observation is equally as important, but for another reason. America is more divided than any other time in history. At least since the Civil War. There are two competing worldviews, and those embracing them are diametrically opposed to each other. One side employs politics as a source of power, pure and simple, the other side eschews political power in favor of individual liberty, private ownership, and limiting government. But this much is clear: politics, for either side, is unavoidable. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke chapter 12 verse 53 NKJV. Case in point, my family and I went to the St. James Court Art Fair in Louisville this year. It's a wonderful opportunity to see and explore some really wonderful artwork and crafts. It's always very popular in the community, and it draws thousands. While there, I happened upon one artist whose work really impressed me. When she approached me, we entered into a conversation. When she learned I was once an artist, she asked me what I'm doing now. I'm a writer, I said. What do you write about? She asked. The culture, I replied. Clearly alarmed, she drew back, and told me, oh no, I'm not into politics. As she turned away, I politely pressed her further, and discovered she had very strong political opinions for someone claiming to not be into politics. I discovered that she was very liberal, very feminist, and hated Fox News. All in less than 2 minutes. I'm thinking she's definitely into politics. Conversely, I know all too well that many Christians are not into politics. And like their counterparts, they won't talk about it either. Until they do, politics in this day and age is inescapable, and like it or not, we must be able to talk about it. Why? Because politics affects policy, because policy affects people, because people matter to God, because we are made in His image and He loves us. The secularists know that Christians aren't engaging in these conversations, or for that matter in their civic responsibilities, like voting according to their faith. They seemed satisfied with that. In truth, voting is not a sacrament. It's a right and a privilege. And it's been violated. For the Christian looking for a way to open up a conversation about faith in God, if that's your desire, then talking about the culture is far more effective than talking about the weather or sports. Don't worry, oftentimes, people want to talk to us. My encounter was all too brief because of the crowds, it was very crowded, and also because she was already talking to another visitor who entered her booth. But, I have her card. She remains on my heart, so I will aim for another conversation. Please pray that we have one. Photo by Paulette Vautour on Unsplash.